Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Been gone for a little while, unfortunately, due to my work schedule, but not only is it Friday, but it's Christmas Eve, and hey, you know what happens here on Friday.
Start spreading the news.
That's right, Schomburg Stu is here with me. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I hope that Santa is going to bring some nice presents to all our listeners.
Yeah, hopefully. And hey, if you'd like to come call in and tell us about what you're hoping to get from Santa, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blog will be up tomorrow. It's been a little while there, too, again, with that lovely work schedule. But I will kick one up and get one over there tomorrow. So swing on by there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, you know, you went all the way over there. You might as well give that a like. Don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can also find me on Twitter at Burke Time, but sadly nothing for Stu yet. So feel free to send anything you want to me there on Twitter, and I will forward it along to Stu. So, all right, well, you know, like I said, it is Christmas Eve, but it's quite the slow sports evening, I guess you could say.
I would think so, and there's one, out of all this stuff going on, there's one thing I'm really disappointed in, that game tonight between Memphis and Hawaii. I was really looking forward to seeing that
yep.
one.
Yeah, they actually canceled the college football bowl game because basically Hawaii couldn't more or less field a team, and I know they filled one of the voids. I don't remember which team it was, but I know Rutgers got the spot. And oddly, because they had the best academic record out of all the teams eligible, I didn't know they still took that into consideration.
I'm surprised that would be their defining idea in selecting a team.
So, yeah, I was very shocked when I saw that was the reasoning behind picking Rutgers. I don't know how that'll go with the game itself, but
yeah, I'm not too familiar with Rutgers. They're what, an East Coast team? They're an Ivy League team?
Yeah. Well, they're a Big Ten team now, I believe.
Are they? Have they moved over to the Big Ten along with Penn State?
Are they? I forgot. You know, with the way everybody jumps, I can't keep track. But I thought they were a Big Ten team now.
Maybe so.
But yeah, obviously, you know, they had some notice to make the switch there for that team. You know, I think they found out yesterday Hawaii wasn't going to be able to play, and with the game being in Hawaii, a little more difficult to kind of fill that void.
It's a beautiful state, that's for sure. I was there in 1968, a long time ago. In the days before COVID.
Yeah. So, if you were planning on watching that, you're going to have to find something else to watch. I don't really know what else there's going to be. You know, there's no NBA because they have the Christmas Day schedule. Obviously, there's no NHL because they've postponed everything until after Christmas. And, of course, there's no NFL, so.
Well, you can always do a marathon on the G-Channel if you get that one, which I do.
And what are they showing?
Horse racing. the Game Shine.
Oh.
You don't get that one?
No, I'm trying to think. I don't think it's called that, but I do get the horse racing. I think it's called something. I think it's a different channel here on our setup.
Yeah, well, they show, not only do they show the normal horse racing, they show a lot of harness racing as well.
Yeah, every now and then I try to pick a race, and I never get it right, but I do try to pick one every now and then. So.
Yeah, well, of course, as I was mentioning to you, I used to like to go out to the harness racing in my younger years. Left all my money at the racetrack.
Yeah, I'm not a very good horse player. Unlike, I know I've mentioned it here before, like my grandfather, who was a big time winner.
Yeah,
not so much for me.
No, it's very difficult, and some say that it's easier to select the harness racing than it is to select the thoroughbreds, because thoroughbreds, there's, you got to take weight into consideration, and the distances vary sometimes from race to race, and usually most of the harness races are of one length in duration, and the weight is not supposed to be a factor. So it's a little bit easier to make a selection.
I do get a kick out of watching the races there, you know, every now and then. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, as long as you don't have any money on it, that makes it even more interesting to watch.
So yeah, definitely a little easier that way, but you know, it is kind of what it is, and I know there are people who are quite good at it. I'm just not one of them.
Well, with the loosening of the gambling restrictions, you see all these commercials now, not only for football and basketball and hockey, and now it's inundated on that channel as well for horse racing. Make your selections now. And,
yeah.
Everything seems to be legal and above board if you want to make some wagering. So I'm wondering if that's going to put the normal old-style bookies out of business eventually.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's to the point where you can pretty much find a way to bet on anything, you know, legally now. You don't have to, you know, hunt anybody down or worry about, you know, the guys with the white on white showing up at your house to collect your debt. So,
yeah, that's not a good feeling if that happens, I'm sure.
But, yeah, I think if I was going to do it, I would still rather go to the track and bet that way. So.
And in terms of football, basketball, and hockey, is there less money wagered on baseball than those other sports?
You know, I believe so. I would think, you know, baseball is obviously the hardest one out of any of them to bet. You know, just because of the way it's set up. I would think if I had to guess, you know, obviously the NFL is king. You know, there's more bet on the, well, now what is it, 18 weeks of the NFL season plus the playoffs than probably any other sport. You know, then I would have to say it's probably basketball, then hockey, then baseball.
Yeah, I would say hockey probably would be the way behind basketball and football in terms of wagering.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure soccer reels in its share of bets. You know, I don't follow or know that much about soccer, but I'm sure, you know, it definitely lands its wagers. And I actually had a guy on who I worked with who would bet on tennis overnight while we were at work. So, you know, even tennis gets some action.
Yeah, years ago, it seems to me it was more popular than it is now. They had, of course, they had Jimmy Connors and some of the other more, McEnroe and some of the more colorful characters who played tennis, but now it seems a little bit more of a gentleman's game than it was before when they had these other guys playing. And you don't seem to see the excitement that they...
Do you think the fact that there's no great American male player hurts it?
Probably so. Probably so. I'm sure it's a factor.
So, you know, because you would think if, you know, because you mentioned Connors and McEnroe, who had their rivals, you know, they had Borg and then Agassi, and I'm sure I'm missing some other guys in there. But they were great Americans and gave them, you know, gave people, you know, something to root for.
Yep.
And you just wonder if,
it's so much gamble now. You don't see too many volleys back and forth like you saw then, because the speed of the serves are just so incredibly fast now that it's usually one and done before they switch sides. It's just they're so fast and accurate with their serves that it's. There used to be a lot of volleying back and forth years ago, but I don't think you see as much of it now.
I don't think so either. But to tell you the truth, I mean, I don't know the last time I actually sat down and watched a tennis match. So.
Yeah, I used to watch it pretty regularly then, but not so much now. And the same thing with golf. I used to watch a lot of that and. On occasion, I do watch a championship golf tournament if it's down to the wire and there's some interesting players vying for the lead, but not as much as I used to.
Yeah, I do end up watching more golf than I kind of realize I do. You know, I'll just kind of have it on and, you know, just start watching, just kind of sit there and watch it. It's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I'll keep watching this. So.
In the early days of TV, one of the more popular sports was bowling. I mean, it was very, very nationally televised.
Oh, yeah.
From Faith Neeson's in Chicago. They had very, very popular for a time, but I don't think it's quite as popular as it was back in the 50s, for example.
Yeah, it's humorous that you mention it because I just watched them. They had a replay of bowling on. I actually just watched them yesterday on Fox Sports. So.
Yeah, it's amazing what at one time for years and years the highest three-game series ever recorded was by a bowler out of New York. His name was Allie Brandt, and his high series for three games was 886. Which is pretty damn high. But they tell me that with the improved conditions of the bowling alleys and the different bowling balls you can get, now there have been several 900 series in sanctioned play over the last decade or so. You can't get any better than that.
No, yeah, that's the best you're going to do. So.
Yeah, you can't get any better. That is perfection.
But yeah, I remember we used to watch bowling. It was every Saturday morning. ABC had it on, and we would watch. You know, you would watch it.
And you used to be on NBC at night, also on Saturday night. This is before your time, probably, from the aforementioned Faith Neeson alleys in Chicago. And I used to like to bowl myself, but I was pretty bad and. I think I've only went over 200 two or three times in the times I bowled. So
yeah, no, we used to bowl pretty regularly, and I by the time we stopped, I was averaging about 170, 175. You know, it was fun. So.
Yeah, there was a friend I used to work. I was pretty friendly with him for a while. We used to work together in the 70s, and. This guy is a terrific bowler. His high three-game series was 791. Remember, he's not a professional, and he has three 300 sanctioned games. So he was a terrific bowler. I was never that skillful.
Yeah,
your average is very respectable, by the way.
I don't know if I mentioned it with you on the air, but I actually have a cousin by the name of Matt Giedel, who is in the Springfield Bowling Hall of Fame and has 27 career 300 games to his credit.
Wow. He's a terrific bowler. These are all sanctioned games, I assume. Tournament
yes.
games or,
yeah.
or league games.
Yeah.
Yeah, either
league sanctioned or tournament sanctioned, whatever he was doing. And my father was a real solid bowler as well, and I know you'll remember this name because it was in Chicago. He used to bowl in a league with Carmen Salvino.
Yeah, Carmen Salvino was one of the great Chicago bowlers. And, in one of those bowling matches I told you about that was out of Faith Neeson, he bowled over 800 once in a three-game series. I think it was a national TV, so he was a great bowler. Great bowler.
Yeah. They weren't. They were in the same league. They weren't on the same team, unfortunately for my father, but they were in the same league. So.
Yeah, they had a lot of good bowlers out of Detroit, I remember. Buzz Fazio, for example, and among others. Very, very good in that circuit for some reason.
I can just remember watching it as a kid. ABC had it every Saturday. It was Chris Schenkel, and then if Nelson Burton Jr. didn't make the telecast, he did commentary with him.
Yeah, Chris Schenkel, he did it for years and years, a long, long time on national TV.
But, yeah, now you know why the tagline of the show is all sports all the time, because I don't think anybody expected us to spend this much time talking about bowling.
No, I take it you never bowled a 300 game, am I correct?
No, the best game I ever bowled was 279.
That's a strong game. It means you had one spare.
Yeah, I've never... I never strung, and I've seen guys, put 10, 11 together in a row and then just not be able to finish, but I've never been able to do that.
Yeah, for the average amateur bowler, when you get 11 in a row, it's got to be nerve-wracking standing up there for the last one.
Yeah, and especially, because you know that everybody's going to be crowding around and watching and, it's just got to be interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't think I think my bowling days are behind me now.
Yeah, no, I with my knees as shot as they are, I can't handle the bending and limping to the line to throw the ball probably wouldn't be very productive. So.
No, and I would venture to say that the amount of leagues in play now in the area are much lower than they were years ago.
Yeah, well, I know my roommate and her father are still in a league on Wednesday night, and the woman I bowl with has been in a league for years. I think she's on Wednesday this year as well. They were Thursday, but they moved it, and she does all kinds of tournaments as well. They go to Reno every year for a tournament. So, they're still out there. For the amateur bowler, if you're interested in looking, I'm sure there's a lane somewhere, but, yeah.
I venture to say she has a pretty respectable average then, bowling average.
She's pretty solid. She's been, unfortunately for her, as she ages, her average is starting to kind of come down, so.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising.
So, yeah, it's just, I guess it's just one of those things, but, yeah, I know Fox carries a lot of the PBA events, but I don't know how many or if they carry them live anymore.
Yeah, there used to be some the same thing with golf. We're talking about that. There used to be some colorful characters who were pro bowlers, like the aforementioned Carmen Salvino, or as I mentioned, Buzz Fazio. Now they're more of a corporate image type when they bowl the pro bowlers.
Yeah, they there's actually a guy, Kyle Troop, who is quite flamboyant. He wears some pretty funky outfits, and he's quite a flamboyant bowler. So there are some personalities here and there, but yeah, not like it used to be.
No, it's a little more sedate now. But yeah, I may be retired, but I could probably still beat you in a game of chess, maybe one out of three.
Yeah. No doubt about that at all. You would mop the floor with me when it came to that. I wouldn't stand a chance.
You'd probably be at checkers, though. For some reason, I'm a decent chess player, but I'm pretty bad at checkers.
Yeah, God, I don't even remember the last time I played, chess or checkers. So I was playing chess online for a while, but it just wasn't as entertaining. So
yeah, it's a difficult game too. I mean, it depends on your skill level. As I mentioned, there was a world championship that just took place recently, and the world champion cruised to an easy win. And the amount of money is, by the old standards, is pretty staggering too, in the millions. It was never that much. Even when Bobby Fischer was in his prime, he didn't make a fraction of what these guys make now.
Yeah, it's insane, but that's how it kind of is everywhere. So nobody will play hearts with me because I learned from my mother and she was a shark. So that just doesn't happen.
Are you a good in all card games? Are you a good poker player and gin rummy and all those?
I'm an ace at hearts. I'm really good at spades and not too bad at gin rummy, but poker I never really picked up a knack for. So
yeah, it can be quite a cutthroat game at the highest level.
Yeah,
but they say that the only game skill-wise that competes with chess would be bridge, and I've never played bridge, but I understand it's a very difficult game.
I've never played. I've seen people play, but again, it was just one of those things. I didn't know anybody who played. See, like all my relatives on my mother's side, the Polish side of my family played pinochle.
Yeah, another popular game. That's right.
So, that was their big gambling game when they all got together at family events. The money hit the table. They had a dice game they would play called Put and Take, where you rolled the dice and one had a P. One was had three P's and three T's, and obviously P was put and T was take. And then the other dice was what you would either put in or take out of the kitty. So they would either roll dice with that, or they would play pinochle for money.
Yeah, there's some very interesting games, and we're talking about card games. And I was in Las Vegas in the '60s a few times, and one game I was always afraid to try was craps. And the surface it looks so easy, but it can be a tremendously complicated game to master. And I guess if you're good enough, you can probably keep the house edge to a minimal amount, and that's probably the only game out there that where you have a chance to win some real money if you're good enough. But once again, it's the dice have something to say with it also.
So and obviously, I shouldn't say obviously because that would be very racially stereotypical, but my father's side, the Irish side of the family, wasn't really into card games, but they did like to drink. So,
well, you can always play a drinking game. You kind of have a game and drink at the same time, right?
You know, I'm sure they did. I didn't participate. I was not old enough. So that was, you know, that was their thing. But, yeah, they, you know, we'd go to see my grandfather, and they would sit in the yard and watch the world go by and put a few away. So.
And from someone who doesn't drink very often myself, I've also wondered that the people who drink a lot actually enjoy the taste of the drink, or do they enjoy how the drink made them feel? And I've often wondered about that one.
Yeah, that's again, you're talking to the wrong guy. I haven't had a drink in years, so I wouldn't be able to tip you off in either direction there. So.
Right. Well, you know what my drink of choice is, right? So.
Yes. So,
and,
you know, and I mine is pretty much water at this point in my life. So.
Well, yeah. Well, don't forget you're adhering to your new dietary requirements. So, drinking water is supposed to be very good
well,
for you.
You know, to be fair, I'm back to a normal diet now. So I could have other drinks. I just haven't, you know, I got to make sure they're right, and I don't want to eat up a bunch of calories having a drink. So.
Yeah, you're still, although you're on a regular diet now, you're still kind of watching the amount of caloric intake that you take now, that you consume now. So you're still watching that.
Yeah, I am between, you know, basically when they say normal diet, it's 1,500 to 1,800 calories for a normal human being, not an athlete. Obviously, an athlete could eat more because they burn more. And he did say if I continue to work out, I could eat a little more. So.
And you've been adhering to your workout schedule pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing pretty good. It's very odd because it's just so different from when I was young and wrestling, and what I used to be able to do and what I can do now sometimes mentally really affects me.
Your current workout regime, do you kind of keep to the same time frame, or does it depend on the type of exercise you do? In terms of length of time involved?
Well, you know, it depends on, you know, how crowded the health club is and, you know, if I can get to what I want to do. You know, there's a lot of variables involved. But generally I can keep it within the same kind of time frame. So.
Which is what, about 30 to 45 minutes?
No, it takes me quite a bit longer now at my age to get things done. I basically end up in total, you know, because I always ride the bike and then I do my workout and then I ride the bike to finish, you know, with shower in, or if I decide I want to, you know, eat up some Whirlpool time, I end up being there about 2.5 to 3 hours total.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
You don't feel the same every time you finish a workout, do you? Sometimes you feel more tired than other times.
Oh yeah, it's different every time at my, you know, I'm guessing it's age that has to do with the way it goes now, because, you know, before, I mean, if or when I would have worked out this hard being younger, I would be making just gigantic strides. But for whatever reason, I stagnate very quickly, and I have a difficult time increasing the weight on the exercises I do. So it's so different that it took me a little while to adjust to how it was going to go. And I was just shocked.
Do you adhere to the same type of workout every time you go, or do you vary it? There's different type of workout affecting different muscles from one day to the next.
Yeah, no, I have a four-way plan. There's one day I work, because I have the arthritic shoulder, there's one day I legitimately just work like chest and shoulders, because I need to make the area around that shoulder stronger, because with the arthritis in there, there's just not a whole lot I can do. And then like today was leg day, so I do the leg workout. And then the third day I try to hit the other parts of the body. You know, like a lot of times I'll focus on biceps and triceps and just do workout specific for that. And then the fourth day, you know, you have those days where you go to the gym and you just don't want to lift, so I'll do cardio. And I'll do, you know, 90 minutes on the bike and 20 minutes on the treadmill. So, and, you know, cardio is a good way. If you really need to lose weight, if you can do cardio, that's the way to do it, is just do cardio.
Do you find that, sounds like you're very routine every time you go out there, do you find that one set of exercises is more tiring than another set that you do?
I don't want to say tiring, but I'm finding it that leg day is much harder than any of the other days. And if you've ever been a regular workout person, one of the things they say is never skip leg day. Today was leg day and it was just, I got through it, but man, I scuffled for whatever reason. It was just tough. And, you know, I wasn't feeling tired. I was feeling really good going in, and it just progressively got harder and harder and harder, but I made it through. So
does it take you a long time to recuperate from that? Or are you good to go?
No, a couple hours. No. My turnaround time has been really quick, which again is another surprise, because I honestly thought I was going to have trouble with that. I was kind of like, man, you know, at my age and with my injuries and stuff, you know, how quickly am I going to be able to turn stuff around? But it's been a lot better than I honestly thought it was going to be. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, do you have to? I know that you do have some injuries. Do you kind of work around that when you do your various exercise routines, so you minimize it?
Unfortunately, yeah, I have to. You know, I mean, the five knee surgeries don't help, and the shoulder, those are the two big ones I've been dealing with. Like, you know, my excitement this week was I actually, on the machine, I was able to shoulder press 20 pounds. And that's the most I've been able to do in quite some time with the bad arm. So that was my excitement and my thrill for the week, I guess you could say.
Would you say that all these aches and pains that you've accumulated that you have now are related to wrestling, or are other sports a factor as well?
No, well, you know, I think with the knees, it's a combination of everything, because obviously, you know, I was a catcher for years,
right,
and the squatting didn't help, ball player didn't help, and, that's when, when I played, you could hit guys in the knees. Now it's a 15-yard penalty, and you get in a lot of trouble for it. But, you know, I got cut so many times, and I used to be a long snapper, and they could line up over you then. You can't do that anymore, and you'd just get wiped out a lot of the times because, you had to snap the ball. So, the shoulder's all wrestling. I didn't have any other problems until I started wrestling with the shoulder. But, you know, the left one is the one you arm drag, and you do everything to the left arm. So,
yeah, well, you've also had, as you mentioned, five different type of knee surgeries. Were there any of those surgeries the same one twice, or were they all different forms of a knee surgery?
No, I've had two complete reconstructions on the left one, a la good old Derrick Rose, except I wasn't out as long as he was. I've had four on the left one. Two of them have been complete reconstructions, and the other two were just putting some ligaments back in place. The right one was they went in and fixed the meniscus tear and then tried to tighten everything else up for me, so hopefully nothing else would tear.
Boy, that sounds like there would be a long rehabilitation involved after those surgeries that you had.
Yeah, I got a month and then had to go back to work.
That was it, huh?
That's why I'm always baffled when I hear these guys, well, you know, I had my knee fully reconstructed and I'm going to be out for an entire year. I'm like, I got a month at some half-ass rehab facility. You've got a professional trainer with the best rehabbers in the world, and you're going to be out a year? So.
Yeah, explain that one.
That's always kind of baffled me.
Well, we know that certain individuals heal quicker than others, but that's a huge disparity, you know, 1 month to 1 year.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's, you know, when you're a working stiff, that's the best you can do. That's all your insurance is going to give you. You know, you're going to get a month of rehab.
Well, I'm sure that even though you only had a month to heal, I'm sure you felt some tweaks with your aching knee still. It wasn't completely healed, I'm sure, after that 1 month went by.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't 100% when, you know, you have to go back and walk on it or stand on it. And, you know, you got to realize, I mean, there are people with those jobs who have these injuries that stand 10, 12, 14 hours a day at their job. Imagine doing that on a reconstructed knee or ankle or anything like that.
Yeah, that's got to be brutal. Absolutely brutal.
So, but yeah, and, you know, and again, that's what always baffles me when I see that, you know, well, this person's hurt with this and they're going to be out for, you know, they're going to miss an entire year. And I'm like, wait, they're going to miss the entire season for what? So.
Well, look at Terry Cohn. Is he done? I don't know. I mean, he's at least a year and a half,
yeah.
Did you say that he's been out of action?
At least. You know, and I'm to the point, I don't even remember what his injury was.
Oh, it's something to do with a knee, wasn't it? I think it was a knee injury, but, or was it one of those real bad knee injuries? Was it what's the real bad one that Rose had? Rose
oh, yeah, I forgot what he had. So.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if he's ever going to come back now.
Yeah, he tore his ACL and fractured his tibia. So. But, yeah, I guess there's a December 1st article. So 23 days ago, apparently he had a setback in rehab. But they don't say what it was.
I wonder about his career being over with, which is a really unfortunate thing if that were to occur.
So, yeah, and there was somebody else who was just saying they had a setback in rehab and they were going to be out longer than expected, but I don't remember which athlete it was, but yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Was it football you're talking about? You weren't sure if it was, or basketball, one of those?
Yeah.
Sports?
I want to say it was a football player. But I, you know, everybody's hurt. It's so hard to keep track. You know, at least I know it wasn't Anthony Davis because he just got hurt recently, and yeah, I don't even think he's rehabbing yet. So,
yeah, and it looks like he was seriously injured
again.
Yeah, not the first time.
No, it's just for whatever. you know, whatever reason, he is just injury prone. There's no other way to put it with him. I mean, he's a great player when he's healthy, but he just can't stay healthy.
Can one injury lead to another? I was thinking about Caruso for the Bulls. He had that hamstring thing, and he was back, supposedly back at full strength, and then one or two games into playing, he sprained his ankle. So I always wonder if one leads to another sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it can, but generally only if you're not 100% recovered from the other one, because then you favor, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, if your left knee hurts, you're going to lean more on your right, or if your right ankle hurts, you're going to lean more on your left, you know, and then you can get injured that way. But if you come back at 100%, it shouldn't be an issue.
Well, you always wonder if supposedly the athlete is back at 100%, but is he in actuality at 100%?
Yeah, well, I think now they are. Before, you know, those guys used to come back just because they were worried about losing their jobs. So they would definitely come back when they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I could think of several athletes, for example, that came back before they should have. Gail Sayers, for example, he never really recovered from his knee injury, and he was a shell of himself, and he never should have come back as soon as he did, and he was done.
So, you know, well, you know, everybody's worried about getting, as they call it, Wally pipped. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, and for our younger audience, Wally Pipp used to be the Yankee first baseman, and he missed a game. I don't remember if it was due to injury or what his issue was, but he was replaced by a player whose name was Lou Gehrig. And obviously, if you know anything about sports or baseball, I should say, he never got his job back.
No, well, of course, Lou Gehrig was known as the Iron Man. Maybe that's why he never got his job back. But isn't it amazing, after all these years, that name stuck like that, and it's still referred to from time to time?
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's the one thing he'll always have, is they'll always use his name in conjunction with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, just kind of odd that's how, you know, he's remembered.
Yeah, I guess he was a fairly solid player before. He may have been hurt. I can't remember now. But he was a decent first baseman. But there weren't too many Lou Gehrigs in baseball.
No, you know, I definitely not. And you do wonder if, you know, if Wally Pipp hadn't have been injured and missed time, how that would have played out.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Being in the right place at the right time means a lot sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, just dumb luck in some cases, but hey, you know, it worked out.
Yeah. He took advantage of it, and obviously he had the talent to go along with it, though.
You know, and oddly, now you hear how many coaches say, well, you know, he's not going to lose his job because of an injury.
Well, we've heard that one before, but it doesn't always turn out that way.
So, yeah, I just, I always kind of, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, well, so he's not going to lose his job due to injury. Okay, great.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the NFL season is certainly winding down now, and we know that it's winding down because there's some Saturday games. Of course, because of COVID, there's been games during the week too.
Yeah, they had that very odd schedule last week, but not this week. We got two games tomorrow, and then the full slate on Sunday. And I do wonder, How, I don't know if upset is the right word, but how disappointed do you think the NBA is that Christmas fell on a Saturday and they have to go up against NFL games?
Yeah, that's not going to bode well for them in terms of ratings. That used to be a big day for them, the Christmas Day.
So yeah, that was always the the thing, the NBA had, Christmas. The NHL had New Year's, the NBA had Christmas. Football, of course, is Thanksgiving, and then baseball is 4th of July because they're the only league playing at the time. But yeah, this year, they're going to have a couple games to go against. I know the first one, the matchups aren't great. I believe it's Cleveland and Green Bay. I'm trying to remember where the game is. Let me see if I can get it here. Yeah, it's Cleveland at Green Bay. And then the night game is decent. It's Indianapolis at Arizona, but the problem I have is it's on NFL Network, so I can't watch it.
Yeah, and Arizona seems to be not playing up to their previous standards over the last few weeks.
Yeah, they've suffered a little, but like every other team, they're dinged up, and they are they're missing their best receiver for probably the rest of the season. So we'll have to see how that goes. But
certainly a bad time of the year. They're going through a downward spiral, though, right?
They'll still be a playoff team. I mean, they have 10 wins already. So that'll get them in. I don't know if they'll beat anybody once they get in, but they're making progress. I mean, they're an improved team from last year, and they look like they have the possibility to have some long term success.
I would think they do. And you think it's possible that Cleveland could spring an upset against Green Bay?
Well, I know they said Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry were active, but neither guy has practiced all week. So I mean, there's always a chance with the NFL because you just never know, but I don't think so.
You wouldn't think so, but Green Bay doesn't have too much to play for anymore. I mean, they're...
Yeah, no, they're locked in. Well, they can wrap up the number one seed.
Right, that's what they want to get, of course.
So, that's the big thing. And then I did see here locally the Bears announced that Nick Foles will start this week at quarterback because Justin Fields is hurt and Andy Dalton isn't ready either. So we're going to get Nick Foles against the Seahawks.
Wow, that'll be exciting. I knew that Fields was hurt, but I didn't know that Foles would be the starter.
Yeah, I just saw that announced today that he will get his first start in quite some time, and I believe there were people who didn't even realize he was still in the NFL.
Yeah.
But yes, he's been the third stringer all year.
Well, Seattle isn't a great team this year, that's for sure. But the game is in Seattle, and they're not the easiest team to beat there. And I would think that the Bears are pretty decided underdog for the game.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they are. And maybe you can answer me this. Seattle is 5-9. They've had a down year. And, it's just one of those things. It happens. I mean, New England had a down year last year, and they were able to turn it around. All I've heard is how Seattle now has to trade Russell Wilson because they're losing this year. As fast as these NFL teams turn things around, doesn't that seem kind of stupid? Because they have Geno Smith as their backup, and they don't have anybody in their pipeline ready to take over for a quarterback like Wilson. It just seems dumb that the media thinks that's the move they have to make.
Well, they may think so, but I don't. It doesn't make any sense to me to peddle Wilson.
That in fact, he has a no trade clause, and he'll only go certain places. So, that's part of the issue. But when I keep hearing this, I'm like, this is just incredibly stupid. You know, I mean, you look at how fast these NFL teams can turn things around, but yet just because we're having a down year, I've got to trade my franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't take those suggestions very seriously. I don't think that the management there is going to do it.
Yeah, you know, or at least I hope not. You know, unless they're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be a free agent, then, you know, hey, okay, go ahead and trade him. That's fine. But, yeah,
it's hard to, how many years does Rodgers have left? I mean, he's...
Oh, you know, now they, you know, if they want to, the quarterbacks, you know, can play into their 40s.
Yeah.
You know, I think Tom Brady's 40. So...
Well, Tom Brady didn't look too good last week, though, did he?
No, God, yeah, they didn't look good at all. But, you know, we'll see here come playoff time how he looks. You know, he had some bad games last year, too, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
yeah, and, we know he's going to step it up a little bit when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, boy, being shut out is really a shocker last week.
Oh, yeah, that was a huge surprise. So, you know, just kind of one of those things. But all right, let's throw some picks out here. I know it's been a while, but believe it or not, you were 4-0 the last time we made picks, which was I think 3 weeks ago.
So you're
88-73. Yeah, it seems like a long time ago. So, you know, we'll start off right here Sunday. We talked a little bit about it. The Bears are at Seattle. Who you got? You got Nick Foles coming in and winning this game?
No. I will have to predict the Seattle victory in that one.
All right. And then the line is 6.5. Does Seattle cover, or you got the Bears keeping it within that?
I would think that Seattle's going to cover that 6.5-point line.
All right, so you're all on the Seahawks for the weekend. And let's see, you know, it's difficult with no Blackhawk game. You know, I got to find something else. And I think the Bulls don't play again till Sunday. So let's see. Yeah, they have the Pacers. Looks like the game is in Chicago. You know, the Bulls have been pretty good. You got them beating the Pacers, who are 5 games under .500?
Well, the 5 games, they've been under for the whole season, but they handled the Bulls very easily the last time they played, if you remember. And that was also in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. But I do see the Bulls bouncing back. I think they'll have most of their players will be available for that game. So I think the Bulls are going to bounce back and get a nice win against the Pacers this Sunday.
Yeah, I saw the Bulls have, I don't know if it's everybody, but I believe they have all their starters back. But oddly, you know, like we emailed back and forth, they're going to be missing their head coach.
Right, right. I don't think Caruso will be available for the game. Isn't he still out with a sprained ankle?
He's going to be out as well. So.
But I do think they'll win.
All right, we'll see. We need one more pick here, so let me make sure I got a guy who's gonna play here. All right, we'll go with DeMar DeRozan. He averages 26.8 points a game. Do you have him going over or under that on Sunday?
I will say that he'll go over that amount, but not by much.
Well, hey, he's only got to get to 27 for you to be right. That's all that matters there.
That's it.
So, all right, we will lock those in and see if you can keep rolling. So,
well, the good thing is that I think I'm still going to wind up, no matter what happens with my selections this week or next, I'm going to still be in the black by when the 2021 rolls to a close.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Unless I think, yeah, even if you were to lose 8 in a row, you would still be over. So you are all set. And I do see Zach LaVine will also, it looks like he'll also
yes.
be out.
Yes.
So, but yeah, everybody else looks like they're back. Caruso is out. It looks like Derek Jones Jr. will play. The other guys listed as out are Troy Brown and Elise Johnson, but they don't get very many minutes anyway. So, yeah, the Bulls are, with the exception of LaVine, the Bulls will pretty much be at full strength.
Yeah, and they were beaten. They suffered an embarrassing loss against the Pacers the last time. I'm pretty sure it was in Chicago. So they simply cannot afford to lose to them for the second time, especially at the UC.
Yeah, that was that ridiculous. They lost 109-77. They just had a terrible night.
Yeah, a major embarrassment. So that's why I predict they're going to turn it around and win handily and beat the spread, whatever it is.
The Pacers are just 3-12 on the road, and one of those wins is in Chicago.
Yeah, and that, not only was it a win, but it was a, as you pointed out, a dominant, hugely dominant win.
Yeah, yeah. Right from the start, I mean, the Pacers had a 15-point lead after the first quarter and just never looked back.
They rolled to it. Now, there's one more bet I'm thinking of making, and the rematch coming up between Hangman Page and Brian Danielson, which there'll be three judges at ringside. So I don't know. I'm kind of toying one way or the other whether or not I should go for the title change and bet $10,000 or $15,000 on Danielson or not. What do you think I should do?
Yeah, well, have they announced who the judges are? Do we know?
We don't know, but when they mentioned that they're going to be judges, the first thing I thought about was one of the Clash of the Champions, if you remember. There was that 45-minute draw between Sting and Ric Flair.
It popped into my head.
And the judges,
it was
all even with the judges, too?
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was just thinking of when I was wondering who the judges were, was if Terry Funk was going to be one of them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've seen heel referees over the years, which is ridiculous, and now maybe there'll be some heel judges that'll have an outcome in the conclusion of the match.
That's what I was kind of thinking, is if they would go that route, or you know how they would kind of set it up. But I mean, Paige hasn't had the title that long, so to take it off him already would be kind of odd.
Yeah, I think he'll retain, but we know there's got to be some kind of a wild and unusual conclusion to that match, though, with the judges involved. And
you know, yeah, we'll have to see how that works out or what they end up doing. But
I do have to give them credit.
For
a 60-minute draw on national TV is it hasn't happened in a long, long time.
Oh God, yeah. Somebody has to look that up. But all right, well let's go and start our good old Christmas weekend here. Everybody.